This preview of the New York Times front page is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the easy-to-use in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of mobile phones and MP3 players and features audible turn-by-turn directions and 911 assist, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit syncmyridepodcast.com.
The damage to the Gulf of Mexico may be less than feared. A mosque may be coming soon to the old World Trade Center site. And in some quarters, furloughs are turning into pay cuts. I'm Jane Bornemeyer. We'll look at these stories and more on the front page of Wednesday's New York Times. The White House is expected to announce Wednesday that most of the oil from the Deepwater Horizon leak has already evaporated, dispersed, or otherwise been eliminated, and much of the rest is so diluted that it doesn't seem to pose much additional risk of harm. In a new report, the government contends that about 26% of the oil released from BP's runaway well is still in the water in a form that could, in principle, cause new problems. But most of that is light sheen at the surface or in a dispersed form below the surface, and federal scientists believe it's breaking down rapidly in both places. The report's been prepared by the head of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. It says there's absolutely no evidence that there's any significant concentration of oil that's out there that hasn't been accounted for. The report was being prepared for release as BP began the so-called static kill process, which is designed to permanently close the well. The Times' Lisa Tazi describes what happens next.
The static kill involves injecting mud and cement into the well, and that could take several days. And then after that, if that works, they are hoping to inject mud and cement into through the bottom of the well from the relief well.
And that was the Times' deputy national editor, Lisa Tazi. A New York City commission cleared the way Tuesday for construction of a Muslim center and mosque two blocks from the site of Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan. The Landmarks Preservation Commission voted unanimously not to give protected status to the building that would be the site of the mosque. That's a step that would allow the project to go forward. Commission members said they made their decision not based on whether they thought the future use of the building as a mosque was appropriate, but on whether the architectural merits of the individual building make it worthy for landmark status. The decision followed a protracted battle that set off a national debate over freedom of religion and involved a range of interested parties from Sarah Palin to the Anti-Defamation League. Mayor Michael Bloomberg praised the Landmark Commission's vote.
This is the freest city in the world. That's what makes New York special and different and strong.
From Minnesota, Deborah Sontag writes that in the aftermath of the horrific earthquake in Haiti in January, the United States government used an obscure immigration program called humanitarian parole to expedite adoptions of Haitian children by Americans. But in the chaos of the crisis, some children were brought to the U.S. regardless of whether they were in peril and without the screening required to make sure they hadn't been improperly separated from relatives or placed in homes that could not care for them adequately. The results are playing out across the country. At least 12 children brought here without being formally matched with new families have spent months in a Pennsylvania juvenile care center while Red Cross officials try to determine their fate. An unknown number of children whose prospective parents have backed out of their adoptions are in foster care. Meanwhile, other children face years of legal limbo because they arrive with so little proof of who they are that state courts are balking at completing their adoptions. In Connecticut, 9 people are dead after an employee summoned for a disciplinary hearing opened fire at a beer distributor in Manchester on Tuesday morning. One of the dead was the suspected gunman. The company, Hartford Distributors, was at its busiest at 7:30 a.m. when the 34-year-old company truck driver, identified as Omar Thornton, was brought in to look at a videotape after being accused of theft. He apparently pulled a gun out moments later and began running through the warehouse, firing shots that hit drivers, union representatives, and company executives. I'll be back with more of Wednesday's front page after this message.
This preview of the New York Times front page is brought to you by voice-activated sync, the in-car connectivity system which gives you voice control of your Bluetooth-enabled mobile phone and most MP3 players. And sync features turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, real-time traffic and weather, music with the sound of your voice, and your text messages read aloud. All hands-free, so you can keep your hands on the wheel and eyes on the road. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRidePodcast.com.
Stephen Greenhouse reports that in the height of the recession, many companies cut their costs by requiring employees to take time off. Now, those furloughs are being replaced by a highly unusual tactic, actual cuts in pay. Pay cuts are popping up most frequently among state and local governments, which are under extraordinary budget pressures and already have tried furloughs. Warning that they will have to lay people off otherwise, many governors and mayors are pressing public employee unions to accept a reduction in salary of a few percentage points without getting days off in exchange. At the University of Hawaii, for example, professors have accepted a 6.7% cut. Albuquerque has trimmed pay for its 6,000 employees by 1.8% on average, and New York's Governor David A. Patterson has sought a 4% wage rollback for most state employees. State troopers in Vermont agreed to a 3% cut. In California, teachers in the San Juan Capistrano District have accepted salary cuts as well. Economists say that the current wave of private sector pay cuts is the biggest since the early 1980s, when many companies cut wages in response to a recession, intensified competition from imports, and new low-cost competitors spawned by government-backed deregulation. Two pedals, inches apart, one for gas and the other for brakes, could become a thing of the past. It is already in some places. For years, a Japanese inventor has argued that this most basic of car designs is dangerously flawed. The side-by-side pedal setup, he says, can cause drivers to mistakenly floor the accelerator instead of the brakes, especially under stress. The solution? A single pedal that accelerates the car when pressed from the side of the foot. More to the point, when the pedal is pushed down, it always triggers the brakes. A handful of people around the world are designing combined brake accelerator pedals in an effort to prevent accidents triggered by unintended acceleration. That's the issue that has come under the spotlight in recent months after allegations that some Toyota vehicles accelerate without warning. Regulators in Sweden are testing a single pedal prototype by an inventor there, and in Japan, about 130 cars are equipped with the pedal. Toyota won't comment directly on the new pedal design, but a spokesman said, "If you ask whether the current pedal design is the best we can do, the answer is no." And that's a preview of the front page of Wednesday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or go to nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Jane Bornemeyer.